Mike Cherry has served as a Democrat in the State House of Representatives for 14 years. He's retiring as the chair of the House State Government Committee and as a former Navy captain, the highest-ranking military member of the General Assembly. Cherry represents the 4th District, which includes Caldwell, Crittenden, Livingston, and part of McCracken counties. Representative Cherry, thanks for stopping by.
Well, I'm certainly glad to be here, and thanks for having me.
Tell me a bit about what prompted your retirement.
You know, that's an interesting question people ask me all the time. In my case, there's certainly no single issue, and it's not because I want to spend more time with my family. That's what you always hear, and that's very legitimate, but gee whiz, I've got a wonderful marriage, and I think part of it's been because I've been away so much. 27 years active duty in the military, and now 14 years in the legislature, almost back-to-back. Ever since we've been married, I've been on the road a fair amount. The wife shudders at the thought of me being there 24/7 all the time. Be that as it may, though, there's three ways you get out of the legislature. You get beat, you get sickness or what have you, or you quit on your own terms. And I'm quitting on my own terms. 14 years has been enough. I'm no spring chicken anymore. I'll be 70 when my term is up, and I just felt like it was time. And it's not as enjoyable as it was. It seems to be a little more uncivil, if you will. The relationship between the parties is not as it was when I was first there, at least in my opinion and in my experience. And I think it's time to let somebody else have a go at it.
That civility, can you blame any one side of the aisle for that?
Well, of course, the blame is evenly spread. You take us as individuals, and we are the most bipartisan people in the world. For me to sit here and say I've got something against Republicans or I don't like the other party, I mean, that's ludicrous. But when you get us all together, the dynamic seems to change, and we seem to get more and more set in our ways, and the ability to compromise is less than it used to be. This current session is a good example. I feel kind of embarrassed because the first part of the session that we just completed, I was writing articles and talking to people in the media and publicly saying we're getting along better than we have since I've been here, and it's been a great session. We're moving forward with the budget so nicely, and then of course it all fell apart in the last couple of weeks, and I felt same old.
And also this session, being the chair of the state government committee, you were in charge of the state house side of redistricting.
Well, yes, but we got along with the Senate quite well on redistricting. Now, within our own House, of course, we had some issues because it was obviously you're not going to please everybody when it comes to redistricting. But yes, House Bill 1 was the redistricting bill, and of course we passed it, and it was very, very interesting, as you know the story. We had redistricting, and then we didn't when the state Supreme Court said, come back and do it over again, guys.
You've been hard at work on the state pension system.
The retirement system. The last 5 years as chair of state government committee, all of a sudden the public pension issue reared its head. And I have been, as a legislator, consumed with that issue for the past 5 years. I don't mean to sound like I'm flattering myself, but I think I'm thought of as the expert in the entire General Assembly on the issue of public pensions. Things were nice back in the late 90s and the early 2000s. We had surpluses, and we hadn't had the economic calamity that we've experienced for the last few years. Investment income was running along nicely, and we as a legislature were doing some pretty dumb things. I'm part of that dumb things we did because we opened windows for retirement. We went to giving people, if they would retire early, giving them a better pension plan, high 3 years for calculation instead of high five, things that in retrospect we should not have done, but things at the time were affordable. And then, as it turned out, when the market crashed and the investment, I mean, when you're setting on $15, $20, $25 billion in assets, the return on those are the major factor in your funding over the 30-year period when we would figure out when you start talking about funding pension fund liabilities, that's based on a 30-year projection of what it will take over this 30 years for me to pay all the pension requirements, and how the shortfall based on your existing assets is what you call a liability. And we've got a huge one. And it's because of that, of the downturn in the economy, and because right before that we had sweetened the pot, if you will, for retirees. Now those things have gone away now. They've sunsetted, so to speak, but they were still a big, big hit on the system. And of course, the same was happening to us in the healthcare area. This current session, there were a couple of bills, a House joint resolution. This summer we'll set up a public pension legislative task force to make recommendations of what can we do now. I mean, we made a major reform 5 years ago, and we're still getting, we still have the problem, and it's still getting slowly worse because the investment world hasn't picked up that much. We hope it will, of course. So it's kind of ironic that this is my last summer, and in a way it's going to be my most important summer because I'll co-chair with my Senate counterpart the interim task force that's going to look into this subject, and it's a crucial issue as far as state finances is concerned.
We spent a lot of time talking about the pension, but also one of your passions in 2008 was an anti-bullying bill. Would you consider that one of your greatest legislative accomplishments?
Well, yes. I think over the 14 years, I've had some 80 bills passed that I was primary sponsor of. But certainly the bullying bill in 2008, and interestingly enough, the 2008 pension bill, probably my two major bills. The bullying bill I started working on in 2000. Buddy Buckingham from here in Murray, and hi, Buddy, if you're listening, very good friend. Buddy brought up the idea, and I was on the education committee with him, and we decided to co-primary sponsor. That's how it got started. And then, of course, Buddy got defeated, and I was left working that bill. And for 6 years, that bill passed in the House, our House committee, and I never could get the Senate to come on board. And finally, in 2008, we came on board, and we passed, at the time, one of the strongest anti-bullying bills in the nation, and Kentucky came on board with that legislation. And, of course, some things you can't legislate. I mean, all you can do is let everybody know that it's an issue with us, it's a priority with us, it's something that should never, ever, ever be forgotten, and it gives the school districts a guideline of how to do an anti-bullying program at their local level. They could have always done that, of course, but how one executes and carries out such legislation is certainly as important as the legislation itself.
You're among four retiring lawmakers here in far western Kentucky, mm-hmm. including Senate Education Committee Chair Ken Winters, mm-hmm. Second District Representative Fred Nessler, and mm-hmm. Fifth District Representative Melvin Henley. Mm-hmm. With a large group of West Kentucky legislators leaving the General Assembly, do you think that might hurt our region's chances at getting legislative support next session?
No, I don't think so. I might have said yes 10 years ago. 10 years ago, the world legislatively was a little bit different. We had some surplus monies. We were able to do some things, and our quarrels and squabbles were quite often what to do with surpluses. And that was an era where your personal influence and ability and longevity, which goes into that to some degree, but not entirely. It's not the most important thing. Longevity is not the most important thing when it comes to success in the legislature, in my opinion. But nowadays, your, quote, ability to get things is almost like your ability to keep from losing things, ability to keep from getting your budgets cut. So there's not as much opportunity for the personal legislator to, by force of personality, reputation, and influence to get extra special things for their own district. It's much more cut and dried, and people get what their due is, in my opinion. And of course, everybody thinks their district is getting shorted. I mean, it's the old thing, the worst highway in the state is the one that runs by my house. And when you're going to get out and fix that pothole. But I think things are fair. And Western Kentucky does well. People sometimes don't think so. But on a per capita basis, we're all funded to some great extent by the Golden Triangle. You know, the Louisville, Lexington, Northern Kentucky. People say, well, they get everything. It may appear that way, but they pay for everything. And we are receiving an area of the state. We get more than 100% of our state tax dollars back. As opposed to the more metropolitan areas. So, no, I'm not particularly concerned about that.
Is there a message that maybe we're not receiving that all of the retiring members of the State House are of the majority party, all are Democrats?
Well, it seems that way looking down here at the West. It's not that way statewide. There are some Republicans retiring, too. And I think it's very close to, on a percentage basis, the same with the Republicans and the Democrats in the House. So, no, I don't have the statistics on that, but I don't see that as a particular issue that Democrats are particularly bailing out. I don't see that.
And then my last question, who your successor? There are two candidates, Lynn Beckler, a Republican, and Lynn ran for this post, I believe, in 2000.
He ran against me.
Yeah.
Excuse me for putting it this way, but I won quite handily, and it wasn't that I was worried about getting beat that I chose not to run again. But part of the reason was I'm past the age of running a hard campaign every 2 years because there's no easy campaign. I don't care if you're the overwhelming favorite. You still better get out there, do the job, meet with the people, because if you don't, that's how you get beat. Well, Cherry doesn't care anymore. He thinks he's got this thing in kiss of death for a politician. But yes, Lynn Beckler and
Raymond, is it his
name? Janina.
Janina.
Who I motivated to run because I think he's a great candidate. It's Janina, and Janina is an old established family in Caldwell County. He's a retired regional public health director, and is certainly he and his family are very, very well known around my neck of the woods.
Well, best of luck to Beckler and Janina in the fall election. And Representative Mike Cherry, thanks very much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. And, of course, thanks to my constituents who have elected me for 7 consecutive terms as their state representative. What an honor.